You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Right, let's get into it. I'm going to run out of time. It's 19 minutes now before 1. Pastor Muonga joins us on the line to answer our question for today. And for this, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again. Pastor Muonga, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Ah, lovely. I can hear you now. Are you well, Mfundis?
I can hear lots of the singing there.
Thank you, Mfundis. Because Mfundis. You ready for our question for today, Pastor?
No, we are all right. How are you doing?
Ah, great. Our question for today, Mfundis, is how do you approach members of the congregation who refuse to reconcile with others?
Thank you. In the first place, we must record and note that it is a very unfortunate situation that you can have church members, because a church is a family, and you can have church members who have not reconciled. But we can use a biblical approach. In Acts chapter 15, we find Paul and Barnabas going in different ways. Why? Because they differed.
Mm.
It should be noted that the differences will always be there. These are powerful ministers. Barnabas wanted to take Mark as they go for the missionary journey, but Paul put his feet down and said, no, this young man abandoned us when we went to Israel, so we can't go together.
Yes.
And the disagreement was so bitter that they just parted ways. Barnabas got this young man, John Mark,
yes.
Paul also got Cyrus, and then they head in different ways. But what's interesting is that at the end of the day, the two ministers, the two church members reconciled. And Paul could even write that the person that I'm relying with now heavily is John Mark.
Right.
So we can have differences. In the first place, when we have differences, we need time for healing, like it was with Paul and Barnabas. When they went separate ways, it was on principle that they differed. But not in terms of personality, or they did not take it to be personal.
Right.
But what is interesting, at the end of the day, they did not take it to be personal. They came together. So it is health that you can have a difference. You and I, Brother Ponwan, we can have a difference.
Right.
And we need now time to heal. We don't have to rush the reconciliation, because at times we rush things, and then things don't work out in that way.
Right.
Hold hands, you pray. And then after you talk, this one talks and so, oh, I think now things are all right. Let's move on. Let's pray. You hold hands. We hug. But inside, it is eating you.
Right.
Inside,
right.
It is. So we also need to know that we are human beings. We need to allow time to reconcile. Just like we have Joseph. Remember Joseph who was pushed in the pit by the brothers. Sold.
Right. Yes.
God allowed time for that difference to heal. And when the brothers appear on the scene, they were reconciled. Joseph forgave the brothers. The brothers came together and they moved on. So we can pick an example from there.
Mfundis, I'm not quite sure the Joseph example is the most apt example. You remember Joseph didn't just forgive them. First, he put them in prison. He sent them back on a trip without one of their brothers. Scared the daylight out of them, promised to put all of them in prison if they don't bring the young one. He accused them of stealing. He set them up. Man, these boys were traumatized by Joseph. I'm sure he had a little bit of fun torturing them for a couple of years, because journeying on camelback from Egypt to Israel and from Israel back to Egypt, it was no small feat. Was that forgiveness to put two or three of his brothers in prison while the others have gone to look for Benjamin? Was that forgiveness?
Yes.
He was paying back, Mfundis, isn't it?
No, in the first place, we must see the underlying reason. Joseph is now a leader, he's now a ruler,
right?
And he wants have my brothers changed?
Yes.
This is the people who are the ringleaders, people who are leading in him being sold in that torture that he underwent. But now he wants to establish.
Right.
Have these people, and have these people changed.
And he puts them in prison, Mfundis, just like he was in prison as well, eh?
In a way, and at the same time, we must also look at the big picture that he had.
Okay.
He was not only Benjamin, finally the whole family comes.
Yeah.
He looks after the family, and then all is well. And we also have to understand that he was also passing through a healing process, but he healed.
I understand, Mfundisi. What I'm asking is, that process, those years that expired between the two brothers, I don't remember whether it was two or three brothers who were in prison. He put those brothers in prison. But I do understand it was a nice prison because it was treating them well anyway, even though he had put them under incarceration. It was like Nelson Mandela at Bishop's Court in Cape Town prison, but it's nice prison. So I understand. So I think the question here from the Enquirer, Mfundisi, is mostly about those who refuse to do what Joseph did, those who refuse to do what Paul and John Mark did. What do you do with those who refuse? Granted, there will come times where we say, I don't want anything to do with you. And I personally, Mfundisi, as Naye, I have people I know, but you will drop me and lie about me, and I distance myself from you. I understand that. But now there comes a time where there needs to be a reconciliation, as was between Paul and Peter, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and John Mark. The person who's asking our question today is, what if now that you have had your time to heal, upindubizwe naye ozala naye, you and Passmore need to reconcile? After you disagreed sharply, you've gone on your past ways, different ways, when you are called again and you still refuse, what then do you do?
Well, what can humanly be done should be done. Beyond that, we live in the hands of God. Because if I've called you, you and I have been called, we differ, we can't reconcile, you refuse to reconcile, I refuse to reconcile. Human being in the first place, we cannot force reconciliation. So if people say, no, we'll remain, but we just have to take note of the implication. What does it mean for a Christian?
Yes.
Because here we are talking about Christians.
Yeah.
When we talk about reconciliation, we are talking about there's a reconciliation between you and me.
Mm.
And you remember Christ came on earth to reconcile us to God. Well, when I refuse to be reconciled to you, I'm also saying that I've not been reconciled to God.
Yes. So
I've not been reconciled. If I understood, if I have reconciled to God, Christ has reconciled me to God.
Right.
Then why should reconcile me with another person? So it implies I have not reconciled myself to God. In other words, I have not accepted the forgiveness of God. Because I have not accepted the forgiveness of God, I can also not accept another person. And the Bible is very clear. If you cannot forgive another person, God will also not forgive you.
I totally agree with you, Mfundisi. That's a good application there. What then do we do? What do we do?
Yes, you can. If you people came as a pastor, I talk to them, when they refuse to reconcile, I'll tell them, I have done what I could have done as a human being, using God's power. Beyond this, there's nothing that you can do.
Yeah.
Because you can't use force. Fortunately, you cannot use force. People still hold their gun and say, no, me, I will not do this. You have done what you could have done as a human being. Like Paul to say, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
The choice is yours. You follow or you don't follow.
So what do you say about the Matthew 18 approach to say, if Naya refuses to reconcile with Passmore, or Passmore refuses to reconcile with Naya, we must call the second person and again tell them, hey guys, you guys need to reconcile. And Naya refuses, or Passmore refuses, then you call the third person. If the third person, they refuse with the third person, and then you take them before the church, and the church tries as well to make them reconcile, and then if they refuse, then you disfellowship both of them. They are heathens. Am I 18? What do you say about that, Mfundisi?
No, yeah, for sure, because you look at the labor, you look at the process of this person.
Yes.
You call one person, refuses. You call two people, refuses.
Yes.
And finally, you bring that person to the church, they refuse, and then the Bible, Jesus says that, no, then you rather call these people as heathen.
Yes.
Meaning now they are saying, they are now, they have gone back to the life of darkness. Because
yeah,
in the life of darkness, you hold a grudge.
Mm.
You have to look for ways to revenge.
Yeah, yeah.
You treat it in the ways you say, well, you can't be part of our family,
yeah.
The church family. Then you'd rather go and live the life that you lived before you joined.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what could have been done, and these people still say, no, we can't. Then, meaning it's no longer health to keep company such people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mpundisi, thank you very much for your time and your insights. We're doing this again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Have a wonderful day, Brother Mpundisi.
It's a pleasure. God bless you. God bless our listeners.
Thank you very much, Mfundis. And that's how we end our conversation on our Ask a Pastor segment. Remember, this segment is meant for you. If you have any questions, please send them to my producer and she'll find you a pastor, like she's done with Pastor Pasmo Munga, who is answering our questions this week. And today's question, how do you approach members of the congregation who refuse to reconcile with others? Oh, Nkosia, we understand getting hurt. We understand feeling threatened. But you move on, man. You move on, you move on, you move past that pain.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.